Hey everyone, Your Money Matters is starting in just a few moments. John Hansen here. We have a story about how inflation has gotten so bad that even grocery stores are now pushing back. I'll tell you how in a bit. Professor Fraud is here to let us know about Amazon Prime Day or Amazon Crime Day. A nice headline from our producer Iridian there. And we'll also chat about the EV revolution. A lot of people say it's here, but when am I going to be able to afford an electric car? When are you going to be able to afford one? Not now yet. We'll find out after this. That actually leads into the question of the day, that last one that I had there. If we're slightly lower at 8%, can you guess which metro area in the United States has the highest inflation year over year, according to the Bureau of Labor Statistics? You tell me the big city in the area that has the highest inflation year over year in our country, and you're going to get a 100th anniversary WGN radio t-shirt. Our phone number, 312-981-7200. All right, I mentioned that inflation has gotten so bad at the grocery store that the grocery stores themselves are now pushing back. So Kraft is in a spat with the UK government, UK supermarket chain Tesco. So Kraft is actually hitting a pause on supplying some items like soup and like ketchup to Tesco after Tesco just said no to Kraft's price increases. Kraft was pushing through its price increases. They're, of course, dealing with supply chain issues. But the grocery store just said, no, we're not going to be selling it for that much. That's too much for our customers. So Kraft is not selling the grocery store more things. So this is in the UK, but this it brings up a worrying concern that there might start to be some battles between suppliers and the grocery stores for how much they have to charge for us, the consumer. Because obviously when we're at the grocery store and we see the higher prices, we kind of blame the grocery store. Maybe that's not logical. It's not necessarily the grocery store hiking the prices. They have to pay more for the supplies, but they certainly have to. They're kind of like the messenger, the grocery store is, and they're starting to refuse in the UK to sell more. Now, inflation's a little bit worse in the UK than it is here, but we'll have to wait and see if that's a trend that makes its way across the pond. They say the longer the issue gets resolved, the longer it's going to hurt Kraft. Either if the two can't agree, Kraft might lose a big distributor for some of their products, and that certainly is no good. All right, we're going to have a lot coming up here today. We've got Professor Fraud coming on in the next break, or after the break, excuse me, to talk about Amazon Prime Day turning into Amazon Crime Day. And if you stayed at a Marriott recently, you may need to be checking your credit because they just had a big data breach. Before we get a look at weather and traffic, though, let's try to get an answer to the question of the day. What area has seen the most inflation over the past year, according to the Bureau of Labor Statistics? And we bring Chris on the line. Hey, Chris, how you doing?
Hey, Chris. I'm doing well. How are you?
Good. What's your guess?
My guess is Phoenix, Arizona.
Great guess. Not the answer, though. I'm sorry, Chris.
Oh, darn.
I'm glad you censored yourself there. Let's go to Robert. Hey, Robert, you're on WGN. What's your guess?
My guess is San Francisco, California.
You said it with such enthusiasm, but you're not right. I'm sorry, Robert. Good guess,
okay.
Though. It's certainly high there. Let's go to Gary. Gary, you're on WGN. What's your guess?
I said San Francisco also, or New York City.
New York City. Not the answer, but a good guess. I'll tell you the amount. It's 11.3% is the inflation in this city metro area. 312-981-7200 if you have any guesses. But let's get a look over at weather and traffic with Mary Vandeveld. 720 WGN, it's Your Money Matters here at 617. And the markets were good today, a really good day. So if you got a little extra money in your pocket, we want you to keep it. Professor Fraud here to help us out with that. He's a certified fraud examiner, professor at Governor State University. Bill Cressy, thanks for hopping on with us today.
Fraud, my favorite topic, because fraud never sleeps.
It doesn't. And speaking of sleeping, if you spend a night at a Marriott hotel, you might need to be checking your credit report right now, right?
Well, actually, it's been drilled down to one particular Marriott hotel in the state of Maryland.
Oh.
However, they got lots of information, lots of credit cards. So if you stayed in a Marriott in Maryland, be careful. But I think there's a bigger lesson here, a couple of lessons, actually. Is one, you know, it's summer, people are traveling, vacation, be careful. Your credit cards are vulnerable. And this was a case of using social engineering where and they spear fished, you know, went after particular people at the hotel, and from looking at their social media sites, made it sound like they knew that person, and that person gave them permission to access the computer. And that's how they got the information. So one, be careful of what you post on your social media. And two, when you're traveling, keep up the protocol that hopefully everyone does, is checking your credit card statements online and your bank statements online every other day.
Wait, because you're
vulnerable.
I'm confused on how they did it. Can you explain that again, how they were able to access the information?
Okay. One of the tools the bad guys use called spear phishing. We know what phishing is, with a PH, where right. you get some email that sounds good. Spear phishing is when they target particular people. So there was a great case out of Canada at a university where they were able, just by looking on the websites, figuring out the name of the people in the accounts payable department at that university, the folks that, you know, wire out lots of money. And by looking at those people's Facebook pages, Instagram, Twitter, they figured out things about, you know, when they had graduations, birthdays, anniversaries, vacations, whatever. And they would send them an email saying, hey, glad to see you're back from vacation. It sounds like it was a great time. By the way, our company has changed the bank account that you should be depositing the payments to. And this company they supposedly represented, this university sent them hundreds of thousands of dollars every month.
Whoa.
And they gave them new routing numbers for the accounts. And for over like 5 months, they were sending out this money. So well over $1 million went out. And when the company finally called them and said, hey, why have you been paying us the last 5 months? They figured out what was going on. They were able to trace the money. It went from Canada, went all over Canada to Australia, and then finally to the Seychelles Islands, which has really become the hot spot for fraudulent banking. It's okay. What the Caymans used to be.
But in general, be careful. Because people may have some personal information about you. That's how they get access to or make you feel vulnerable. Well, not vulnerable, but they know a little bit about you. So they seem more legitimate.
Right, exactly. And by sounding more legitimate, you go along with what they propose without thinking twice about it. So always be skeptical of anything any requests that you get. They should have just called the company and say, hey, we're just confirming that you changed your banking, and they would have found out they were getting defrauded.
Okay.
So essentially that's what happened with this Marriott. They convinced someone within their business office that they were legit and allowed them access to the computer, and then they stole, I think it was 20 gigs of customer data, ugh, including credit card information. Yeah.
Okay.
So several hundred people are getting notified that that they've been compromised.
Okay.
Yeah.
I've gotten that letter before, and it's never fun to get. Let's talk about a phishing scam related to, or multiple of them, related to Amazon Prime Day.
Oh, yeah. Next Tuesday, Amazon Prime Day starts, though there's, of course, sales even before then. And are you excited for Amazon Prime Day, John?
Whatever.
you shouldn't be.
Uh-huh.
But a lot of people are, and that's what gets people in trouble, is because they get excited. One of the ways that our fraudsters use really psychology is if they find people that are excited, people will click on that mouse when they really should have taken a few moments and thought it over. So when you get these deals saying, hey, here's a pre-Amazon Prime Day, or on Amazon Prime Day, here's a special offer. While they last, you can get a big screen TV for $37, whatever. And, you want in on that, and you click it, and you give them your credit card information, and then the bad guys are off to the races with your credit card numbers. So be very careful over these next few days, because we know the fraudsters will target people during this because they know there are so many millions of people going online participating in this event, and they do the same on Cyber Monday or just before Cyber Monday in November, mm-hmm. because they know so they can send out an email blast to people that has been designed to look like it came from Amazon or one of the big retailers, and it looks legit, but it's not.
Right.
So you really have to be careful. Check the any links that they give you in that. Check those links. You know, hover your mouse over it, your cursor over it. Read the URL carefully, because sometimes those URLs, those internet addresses, are really close to the real one. It might say Amazon, but be spelled with a zero instead of an O.
Oh yeah,
and things like that, or have Amazon in it somewhere, but it's not legit. You really have to be careful about this. I hate to tell your audience that you really have to be skeptical and cynical and all those things, but you really do.
But you do,
especially when you're internet. Yeah.
How about with romance too? Because I know everyone dating online. I know that there's a summer scams related to online dating.
Hmm. Summer is a great time if you're a single person, and sometimes even if you're not, you like to find someone else to be romantic with.
Okay.
And by the way, I'm a married man, happily married. I'm not doing that at all.
Okay.
I'm glad to be out of it. But the fraudsters, and there's some horrendous cases of people losing really all their life savings to people that hook you up into these romance scams. One of the best tools for the romance scam that I've seen is a Google image search.
Hmm.
So often, the site that you're looking at or the app that you're looking at, they'll have a photo of this handsome looking guy or beautiful looking woman that they've lifted off of some other website. And so do the image search, and you realize, wait a second, that's not the person I'm talking to. That that's an actor.
So you can take
a doctor on TV.
You can screenshot their picture and then use Google to search the rest of the internet for something that looks like that picture.
Exactly. And then you find out that's really not the person that we see here. This has even been done on selling websites, selling dogs and cats, where they will pick up a picture of a cute looking dog off of a pet store ad and say that they're selling this dog, and the dog doesn't exist except in the ad. So Google image search is one of the best tools out there, where the Google engines will compare that image to all the other images, similar images on the website, and show you any that match. So that's a wonderful tool for any of these kind of frauds.
And for people that think that'll never happen to me, the romance fraud, the FBI reported that romance scams in 2021 cost Americans $1 billion. And that's more than double the year before. So this is an accelerating problem, and it may land you on a really cool reality show if this happens to you, but you're still going to be out of money, so that's no good.
And those numbers are probably very low, because a lot of people are not reporting.
They don't report it. They're embarrassed. Exactly. Yeah. Professor
Go ahead.
I was just going to say, I wish we could dive into people's psyche of romance and scams more, but we're out of time, my friend.
Oh, no. Well, we'll have to do this again, because fraud never sleeps, and I'm always busy with fraud.
Oh, I love when Professor Fraud comes on by. Bill Cressy, thanks for joining us, okay?
Okay.
All right.
Good talking.
Let's take a break. We might have time for an answer to the question of the day after this on WGN. News in a few seconds. Chicago inflation at 8%. Nationally, it's 8.6%. What city is inflation the highest at 11.3%? We're going to go through a couple rapid-fire answers here. What's your guess? Chris, you're on WGN.
Honolulu.
It is not Honolulu. Let's go to Mary. Mary, you're on WGN. What's your guess?
Miami, Florida.
Ooh, that's a good guess. Just not the answer. Let's hope we get one. You get a prize. First got the news on WGN. 720 WGN, it's Your Money Matters, 6:39 p.m. And I'm so fascinated by the EV revolution, electric vehicle revolution. And the more stats we see on it, the more encouraging it is for people that love EVs. But I don't know if we're there yet, especially with the cost of things right now. So here to break it down is Tom Appelli, from Consumer Guide Automotive. And Tom, thanks for joining us this evening.
Oh, thanks for having me.
I just even looking for new stats right now, found a brand new post from Kelley Blue Book that 36% of Americans may buy an EV, and that seems higher than I thought it would be, even though only 2% of Americans own one. Are we seeing the real acceleration of the EV market, or does everyone need to pump the brakes a little bit?
I think both. I think that we're seeing a surge right now. It's driven in part by gas prices. And I think it's driven, too, by very positive reviews of new product that's hitting the market right now. The EVs that are coming out from Kia and Hyundai and General Motors, for example, rave reviews. These are great vehicles, as is the Ford F-150 Lightning, Ford's first all-electric pickup. And there's a lot of excitement there about these EVs, and I think that there's a lot of early interest in these vehicles because it turns out they really work well.
I think it's a lot of promises, though, too, right? And I think that we've all been promised this revolution for a long time, that some people are a little skeptical that it is really on the brink of coming.
Yeah, and one of the problems here, too, is that there's really two classes of buyers right now, and this excludes affordability, but that's people who live in a place where they can install a charger and people who don't. And people who can install a charger, this is going to work very well for them. For people who can't, there's the problem of finding charging and then waiting a long time to charge, because charging your vehicle is going to take 20 minutes or 40 minutes as opposed to 5 minutes to fill a gas tank.
If you are one of the, what is the dividing line between people who can get a charger or not? Is it simply price, or is it also where you live and the kind of place you live in?
Yeah, it's where you live primarily. If you have a single-family home, or if you live in an upscale condo or maybe an upscale townhome, your association may work with you and you can install something near your house or in your garage, and that works great. The actual cost of these, generally not that high, little expensive. We're looking maybe $1,000 to $2,000 in most cases, though if you have an older home, it could be much, much more. If you need to charge on the road, though, you're paying commercial rates for charging. That costs more. It's not convenient to your house, and it's going to take longer.
I was talking with Ernie, the guy who you hear sometimes on the station, his voice doing some of our imaging commercials, and he also comes on every now and then. He's kind of our everyman of WGN, Ernie. And we were talking because he likes road trips, and I do too. Are we anywhere close to a point where I can drive across the country in an EV and be confident that I would find charging stations along the way?
Yes, and it's improving quickly. The trick there is probably staying near tourist destinations and near the interstate, because that's where the charging stations are clustered, and that's where you'll find relatively reliable, fast charging. If you need to drift off that path right now, things might be a little bit more dicey, but your car does come equipped in most cases with a navigation system that'll help you find charging stations, and the apps for all of these services, of course, are useful as well.
How long does it take? Is this a matter I'm going to have to stay somewhere for a couple hours? Can I do it over lunch to charge me back up?
It depends on the vehicle. If you're driving like the new Hyundai Ioniq 5, which is a great vehicle, 80 kilowatt hour battery. So if you drain that most of the way down, say to 20 kilowatts, and you want to get like a half charge, you're going to need most of an hour at a 100 kilowatt station. If you find a faster charge, you can go a little bit more quickly. But it all depends on your situation. But you're usually looking at a stay of 20 to 30 minutes.
Okay. What is the limiting factor for these things becoming more affordable? Is it the price of the battery? Is it the technology behind the battery, the car itself? Or are we kind of priced in and this is what the range it's going to be for a while?
The cost will come down and the range will improve. Right now we're waiting on a technological breakthrough on something called solid-state batteries. And every time you talk to someone about these, they're always 5 years away. But solid-state batteries are really just an improvement on lithium-ion technology, and they will improve things a lot because they will be more energy-dense and the battery will be smaller. And they should be less expensive to produce, and that will be a breakthrough. Right now, we're close to cost parity with electric gasoline-powered vehicles, but the way electric cars are being equipped and packaged and sold, they cost much more right now.
We got a question, Tom, from Kevin. I hope you don't mind taking a quick call because I'm putting you on the spot. Hey, Kevin, you're on WGN. What's your question for Tom?
Yeah, can you hear me?
Yeah, we can hear you good.
Okay, great. You know, I'm driving my gas-powered car right now, which I have forever. I've never owned an EV, but, you know, my car has an alternator that puts energy back into my battery while I drive. Is there, what, does an EV do that at all? I mean, you know, you've got the wheels moving. That should generate some kind of power that you could put back into that battery. That's my question.
Okay, go ahead, Tom.
Yeah, great question. No, all electric vehicles and all hybrid vehicles are equipped with regenerative braking, and they do it exactly what Kevin was talking about. As the vehicle is slowing, the regenerative braking will actually charge the battery. And this isn't braking at all. It's really the electric motor turning the other direction. So it's doing the opposite of powering the motor. It's charging the battery. And you'll find systems like that pretty much in every electric vehicle now sold in the U.S.
Okay. Hey, Kevin, I just want to ask you while I got you on the line. He asked a good question.
Yeah.
Would you ever consider buying an electric vehicle?
Oh, man, over the last few months, I've been thinking about it very hard because I put a lot of miles on my car, and every time I stop at the gas station, I'm dropping 60, 70, 80 bucks.
And before this big increase in gas prices, had you ever thought about it before?
Yeah, I had.
Okay.
I thought it's kind of a neat concept, but, you know, I want to be able to go more than 400 miles on a charge, though, too.
Yeah, Tom, where are we at with some of the ranges?
The ranges commercially available right now tend to be between 220 and about 300 miles.
Okay.
There are some examples, but they're expensive. Better examples, but they're expensive.
Hey, the phone lines are lighting up, Tom. Let's keep you on the line here. I'm going to put you on hold. We'll do another segment with Tom with your EV questions and find out if we can get them more affordable. Let's get a look at weather and traffic, though, with Mary Vandeveld. The EV revolution. Is it here? How much will it cost you? Tom Appel, Consumer Guide Automotive. And Tom, it's a common question we get when we talk about this. Will it really save you money? Doesn't charging the EV at home cost just as much as a gas tank would normally cost you?
No, it is dramatically cheaper, and that's one of the wonderful advantages of an EV. It can cost you as little as 10% as much than buying gas, depending on when you charge at home. In Illinois, of course, there are cheaper rates between, I think, midnight and 8 a.m., at least if you're a ComEd customer. So, yeah, there's a huge advantage if you charge at home. Now, if you're going with commercial rates and you're paying 35 to 45 cents a kilowatt hour, you lose a lot of that advantage, public charging.
Are these electric companies, and I know this, I don't know, it might be outside of your realm of knowledge in the subject, are they ready for a lot more EVs coming? Because when I worked in Congress in the Senate, this was like a big thing that our committees often talked about was, is the grid even ready?
It depends who you ask, but I've been told by people who seem to know that the grid is improving slowly over time. Also, we're adding vehicles to the system relatively slowly.
Right.
It's not like this is a huge rush right away. According to the National Department of Energy, we should hit peak electricity around 2040, and it was the general consensus, according to an article I read there, that the grid would be more or less ready for that amount. I think there'd have to be some shuffling, maybe some encouraging people not to charge during peak load times, but that's assuming that the grid doesn't upgrade at all until then.
Right, which we can assume that it would as the production of and ramps on up. Let's go to the phone lines. Edward, you're on WGN. Hey, Edward.
Yes, hi. How are you doing?
Great.
I always hear the estimated mileage that you can achieve using a charge. What is the impact of the need for heating during the winter for the car or air conditioning for the summer?
Ooh, does that drain it faster, Tom?
It does, and it's dramatic. In Chicago, you can count on losing about one-third of your range when things slip below freezing. And there's a lot of factors that might make that less dramatic. If you charge inside in some place that's heated, for example, the impact won't be as dramatic. And primarily keeping your battery charged to a higher extent. But if you charge outside and it's cold outside, yeah, you're going to take a hit. And the same thing with air conditioning. Air conditioning uses a lot of energy.
Well, Edward, it's only below freezing like 5 months of the year, so I think we're going to be okay. Thanks, Edward. Good call. Good question. Let's go to Janet. Hey, Janet, you're on WGN.
Yes, hello. I have a question. The way Commonwealth Edison works right now, ComEd, is they have something for people who want to keep their electric bill down, called time of day pricing.
Right.
So you pay the most between, I think, 2 p.m. and 10 p.m. at night.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so that's understood, and you pay the least overnight.
Right.
So they want you to try and run your dishwasher and your wash machine and stuff overnight.
Mm-hmm.
So if everybody is going to charge your car overnight, isn't that going to put an extreme burden on the grid, so to speak?
It's a good question, Janet. Like, if everyone does it during that time, I imagine, Tom, the answer would maybe be that since nothing else or very little else is being used, it can handle it. Is that what experts say?
That's the understanding, yeah. Industrial use tapers off at night, and that's most of the energy use. Additionally, we're air conditioning less at night as well, so we should be able to compensate it in the evening. But, yeah, the rates become very affordable in Illinois between midnight and 8 a.m.
All right, great question, Janet. We appreciate it.
Well, no, but wait. Do you see that rate then? All of a sudden, I'm taking that away from us because that's a prime place for them to make a ton of money?
I don't know. Maybe. Tom doesn't represent the electric companies, Janet. I wish
okay.
I had an answer for you, but I'm going to write that one
okay.
down because that's a good question. No, I mean, like, will they change it if everyone starts doing
yep.
it? All right. Thanks, Janet. I appreciate
sure
your call.
They will.
Yeah.
Oh, thank you.
They'll find a way to make some money off of. So there's no doubt. 847 wants to know, Tom, are there small engine hybrids that are also plug-ins?
Yeah, there are a number of plug-in hybrids out there. The Toyota RAV4 Prime is an example of that, and the Toyota Prius Prime are plug-in hybrids. If that's something you're going to do, I personally wince a little when people talk about plug-in hybrids because I don't believe people plug them in, making them kind of a waste of money.
Okay. This is from Fox Valley Mike. Teslas are unreliable junk, and the new EVs are unproven, so I wouldn't buy one now. Wait 5 years or more. I might agree with some of that statement. I don't know. Is there some advantage to maybe not pouring your money into it right now, waiting a few more years for the tech to get better?
Yeah, I don't know if there's any reason why anyone needs to do it now unless they want to do it. The great thing about electric vehicles is that they are better vehicles. They are faster, they are quieter, the power delivery is smoother. But if you're happy with what you're driving right now and you don't need a vehicle right now, I wouldn't rush into this because, yes, the situation is going to improve. Charging stations are going to become more prolific. Prices are probably going to come down. Yeah, there's no need to rush into this.
46% of Americans had never heard that the federal government provides a tax rebate up to $7,500 for those who purchase certain new EVs. That's still a thing?
It's still a thing, but it's phasing out for a lot of manufacturers. Tesla, General Motors, and now Toyota have run out of their allotment. The allotment was 200,000 credits, and those companies have burned through those. So if you're looking for those vehicles, watch for an incentives by those manufacturers or consider a vehicle that's cheaper.
All right. Let's go to Tony. Tony, you're on WGN. Hey, Tony.
Hey. been listening to all this. Don't think that I agree with a good part of it, but
okay.
being a mechanic all my years, I do know a bit about electric cars.
I'm sure.
And the cold weather definitely does change things. And the other problem I have is they're starting to tell people now not to charge your car inside because they catch fire. And these things do catch fire. And when they do, it takes 10 times the amount of water to die this fire out.
Interesting.
And
I've seen some videos of that, too.
Yes, and also, I have not far from my house, there's an apartment complex. There's 1,500 apartments in this complex, you know, and what are they supposed to do? Because you sure can't run extension cords.
Right.
the person that owns the buildings, he's going to have to assign them a spot, and they're going to have a charging station put there.
Right. Right,
and you're going to wind up having that these people are going to have to pay for. Obviously, you're going to have to put a credit card in or something and pay for this.
Right, right. Tony, I got to put you on hold here and get a response from Tom because we're running out of time. He brings up some points, Tom.
Yeah, the car fire thing is exaggerated somewhat by the fact that everyone loves a good EV fire, and it's a great story and it's a great headline. But in fact, there haven't actually been that many relative to the number of EVs on the road. And in fact, I heard one number that suggested there were fewer EV fires than there were gasoline engine vehicle fires relative to the number on the road. But that said, there was the famous recall of the Chevrolet Bolt EV because of fires. So it is something to think about. But in terms of high density dwellings and charging, that is an issue, and I don't
100%.
Think there's an easy answer for that.
Yeah, no, there certainly isn't. Tom, I'm so glad you came on. People have all these questions about EVs, the cost to them, because their money matters. And Tom, we appreciate your time.
Oh, the pleasure was mine. Thank you.
We'll do it again. All right. Tell you what, let's take a break. We got news coming up from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom and hopefully an answer to the question of the day. What city has seen the highest inflation year over year at 11.3%? You get a T-shirt if you get it right. WGN, about five people have texted in that inflation has gone highest in Boise, Idaho. You're all wrong, people. Stop texting me Boise, Idaho. I know the real estate went up a bunch in Boise, but not inflation, at least according to the Bureau of Labor Statistics. Let's go to Paul. Paul, you're on WGN. What's your guess?
Tampa, Florida.
At 11.3%, Tampa Bay, at least the latest stats, had the highest rate of inflation anywhere in the country. The Sun Belt in general, very, very high. Paul, thanks for the answer. You're going to get a WGN T-shirt, okay?
Excellent. Thank you.
All right. Puts it in perspective. Paul's our winner. Great. We got an answer to the question of the day today. That's going to do it for me today and this week on Your Money Matters. I'll be back on Saturday for Let's Get Legal.